Good morning. Today is Friday, the day after the smokeout, huh?
Yes, the day after the smokeout, yeah. 2 days after Zero Waste Day, and I wore my sunglasses driving in.
Whoa.
So those are all good things.
It really couldn't be a better end of the week.
That's
is that
right.
What you're saying?
Absolutely.
All right. Joining us this morning is Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Our quote this morning, let's see if we can, I can't find a biking quote. Darn.
Darn, it's a big day on Sunday.
Yes, let's see, we're going to have a walk. Oh, can't find a walking quote either. Darn.
How about roller skating?
Okay, here's a heavy one. Victor Hugo.
Okay.
All right. There's one spectacle grander than the sea. That is the sky. There's one spectacle grander than the sky. And that's one soul. That's kind of cool.
Wow, that is.
I suppose you get esoteric and try to make a connection to walking, but I'm not going.
It's too sunny today.
Yeah, in so many ways.
Yeah.
So the Wonder Trail, at least the Arcata portion of it, is almost done. We saw yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back, they were attaching some of the protective railing.
The railings on the bridges.
Over the bridges. It's been intriguing to me, of course, you know, my general attitude about things along those lines. I'm going, oh, so the bridges are safe, but when people are on the path, an errant car can take them out. Are they going to put any kind of a barricade or maybe even just the little railing thing, but beefier,
right. Beefier.
Along the way there so that some of those who are want to take a left-hand turn suddenly and walk across the highway don't.
Yeah.
Little ones,
right?
You get away, don't. Some of those in another dimension, don't. I saw three of them last week going up on Wednesday. You know, they were straddling the guardrail in the middle. Mm. You know, what? Really? Just waiting for the cars to go by. You know, it wasn't like they were on anything. Just, you know, inconvenience.
Right.
So are there going to be any additional safety barricades or anything?
I can't design common sense into
no
public works project. Typically, although we try. Yeah, we absolutely try. You know, when we originally designed it, the first criteria for Caltrans was to be what they call 30 feet away, what they call the clear recovery zone. So the edge of the trail is 30 feet from basically the fog line. We were able to meet that standard, so it doesn't require barrier.
What's a fog line?
The fog line, I think, is the white line, the edge of the...
Oh, the edge?
The edge of the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, of the lane.
I didn't know it was there for fog.
The
I thought it was just for visibility.
Yes, well, for delineation of the lane, most likely.
Or for those of us who are foggy mentally, perhaps.
Right.
That one works.
Can speak to all of us from some time to time. So technically, no, it doesn't need a barrier. Technically, obviously... so much safer than what pedestrians and bicyclists use currently on the shoulder. I had the original concern, that same concern. My first time out there, I have to say I felt a lot safer than I expected and anticipated. In terms of errant dogs or kids running, it really is a pretty substantial swale that come this time of year is going to be filled with water most of the time, and I think will be a pretty good barrier for inadvertently making your way to the highway. That being said, the other piece at Caltrans, from the time that we started planning this project and designing this section until now, the cable barriers have really made their way up to this region. So instead of the solid guardrail, but the cable, kind of cable guardrail, cable barrier that you see along 101 between northbound, southbound lanes, leaving north of Arcata. So that concept of cable barrier is being looked at for the county's what we call the Final Four section from Breakcut connecting Eureka. And we are asking them, they are considering cable barrier all the way up to South G Street in that phase of it. Part of this phase was really trying to minimize aesthetics in the coastal zone. So originally, the railroad had considered requesting fencing, and at that point, that was removed as part of the aesthetic modifications to the project. The cable barrier is low. I mean, it really would be identical to what you see going north. I mean, it's probably 3 feet or so. And it's designed to not, you know, ricochet a car back in. The real concern, I think, with some of the solid barricades is that, yes, they would protect the trail, but they then sort of ricochet that vehicle back into the lane of traffic.
Yeah, that would,
so you're playing the odds either way, right?
Well, of course, if you're that far off and then you go down, I mean, how much energy would you have to bounce off and then go back up the hill?
Yeah, although the truth is we saw it once within the last few years. You know, we saw a car fly all the way near to the Jacoby Creek Bridge. It's the only time I've seen it in the 10 years that we've been planning this project, but I can say it happened once. So, you know, you
it
certainly...
It is possible, I suppose.
It is absolutely.
If somebody's really determined.
Possible. Right. But I have to say the safety factor is just up, you know, a zillion times from, you know, what bicyclists in particular that are commuting have experienced for the last couple of decades trying to go between Arcata and Eureka.
Well, now you just teed me up for the other part.
Perfect.
During the time when it's been paved,
mm-hmm.
what's that, three months maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen four joggers on it.
Mm-hmm. You must not drive it very often.
Each Wednesday morning, girl, you know that. I know that's where the funding came from.
Mm-hmm.
But what does success look like? Just having it done or being used by a certain number of people or?
Yeah, I think success for us is really having it be multi-use. This is our section of the California Coastal Trail. So although predominantly it'll be used by commuters between Arcata and Eureka, we believe, we really do want joggers, rollerbladers, cyclists, recreational, strollers, people walking. I mean, you are on Highway 101, you do hear the traffic, but it is a beautiful view of our bay. It is actually a spectacular walk.
So when you're leaving Arcata, always focus on your right and you'll be okay.
Perfect.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, driving through town, there's a fair amount of activity, construction activity that's going
mm-hmm.
on. I played tour guide, was it last week? Yeah, I guess it was last week. Driving around a little bit, sewing up the town, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That was the reference that Alex Weber, who was the golf pro at Baywood, used to talk about if you'd slice and then you'd hook and then you'd slice and then you were sewing up the golf course.
Oh.
Sewing up the town, okay. Going just back and forth and stuff.
I'll admit to doing that.
A lot of neat raw wood around. Signs of activity, signs mm-hmm. of development.
Mm-hmm.
Is it surprising with the general malaise in the economy? The challenges that California has gotten doing things, that you're having this much stuff building going on?
I think we're obviously seeing the signs of coming out of the recession that we were in. We had a lot of projects that were either approved or near approved as we headed into 2007-8-9 recession. And so I think we had a lot of developers that were a little ahead of the game and saw the signs of things turning and have jumped and have started into development. And then we have a couple of new ones. You know, we talk a lot about really being in a housing crisis in this whole region, but certainly Arcata has one of the tightest housing markets. So we've had a couple of things. One, the dissolution of redevelopment in the state of California.
Was that a plus? because
I think it's a minus for all rural areas, absolutely. Yeah. But the result of our dissolution was the sale of some redevelopment properties. And two of those will be under construction for housing. They would have ultimately been under construction for housing either way. But the biggest one that you see right now is along the new Foster Avenue, and that's a development by Kurt Kramer. It's a little over 140 units of housing. And then the lower parcel, which was also part of the city's redevelopment agency, was sold to another local developer, Steve Strombeck, and he's been approved for, I think, 40 units.
Regular, or site. Is this...
There'll be small apartments.
But it's not the senior housing thing. It's not the low income. It's just regular anybody stuff.
But we do have, I mean, that is another development. We call it the Foster Avenue Extension. So it's currently, there's a large parcel just outside the city limits that Danco has owned for a number of years and has come in with various designs. Their current design, which is in environmental review right now, but very actively being worked on, does have senior assisted living, small cottage living, and then some residential units as well. So that'd be a huge improvement.
So it's kind of like the ones on Hubbard?
I'm not familiar with the ones on Hubbard.
Designed for older folks. Mm-hmm. I mean, no kids kind of development, but designed for those that are less ambulatory. They're Kramer properties. So
okay. It could be similar. I'd have to take a look.
It's kind of like the three guys are all kind of doing the same stuff, so it's probably just a different flavor. But the demand, is it the lack of access to the properties to build on that have been the issue, or is it the permitting process that the state holds some of these projects to, either directly through you guys or by themselves, based on creek locations, mud puddles, close to the ocean? I mean, all the things that you hear horror stories about.
Sure. Obviously, the lands that were developed first were the easiest lands to develop. We're in a fairly built-out urban settings, whether it's Arcata or Eureka, both, fairly built out communities. So the properties that are remaining are going to be those with more constraints that are going to be more challenging to develop. That being said, it's just the combination of does the finances work to comply with the regulations on that property, and then to be able to sell into a market that allows you to pay for, the design accommodations for that. And I think we're just back into that market where the market is high enough to accommodate the tougher developed areas.
Towards the tail end of last decade, redevelopment was here as an agency, either locally or as a state funded. The fact that it's not there, what does that mean? Just less money's available, one less step you have to go through, more responsibility to the local?
It's just less money available. Redevelopment was able to come in and help either directly fund or loan fund finance, gap finance, various projects in our region. And for rural communities, I mean, it was really like the base of a lot of our cleanup of the very, very tough areas. We have tons of old, lumber properties in this area that mill sites that require sometimes extensive cleanup or infrastructure reconfiguration before they're going to be economical in the private sector to be able to develop. So having a redevelopment agency that could come in and partner on a project like that to help with cleanup or infrastructure or, base amenities for then that project to be able to be viable in the private sector was really successful in our region. Now, I recognize it's also saved the state a lot of money to not be in the redevelopment industry. And I certainly understand why the governor made that decision. That being said, I think rural communities were really affected negatively by it.
Does the EPA still have their brownfield cleanup fund?
They do, yeah.
Tapped into for those types of things?
Yeah, so we actually just got a $300,000 grant from the EPA to do assessment testing, not full cleanup, but of several city sites. So the city is in the process of retaining two of our final redevelopment sites. One of them, what we call Little Lakes, it's an old mill site just south of Samoa. And we'll chat a little bit more about that grant shortly.
It's 8:30.
do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Talk Shop's presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Karen, before the break, you said that there was a $300,000 grant that was coming from, a Brownfields fund?
Mm-hmm,
from
the Brownfields fund through the EPA.
Listen to me like I know what I'm talking about,
huh?
I
don't know.
I may not have a clue, but I got a memory.
You've been indoctrinated into government language anyway.
Some of this, what's it been, 35 years or something like that of doing this? So, yeah, eventually something's going to start leaching in.
Yeah.
So there are still federal dollars available for some of these areas. What is the triggering mechanism? Why did this one qualify for federal dollars, even though state redevelopment didn't exist?
Yes, so separate pots of money. This really is environmental contamination cleanup, brownfield sites that, you know, the federal government believe are at a level that, you know, no local government would ever be able to clean up on their own. But it is really a redevelopment tool in order for monies to come in, try to clean up old mill sites where sometimes the contamination can't be sourced back to a particular individual or a company that could now be held accountable to pay for that cleanup.
Sawyer was defunct. I know that talking with guys that have in the past looked at Broadway properties in Eureka, they don't want to get in the chain of liability.
Right.
It doesn't go away.
Right.
It's there forever, and why do I want to encumber either the kids or subsequent owners and have to discount it down because who knows what the tide might bring in, and then you're brought into the lawsuit. Now you're having to defend with tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars something you had no clue about. I mean, it really kind of makes it difficult, I would think.
It would be daunting to the private sector to try to do it alone.
Now, when these funds come in, and let's say it's at this former mill site, at that point, do you guys have a project in mind? Or does then that property get a clean bill of health and then gets made available to the private sector to purchase and develop?
Both. It could be either way. Certain types of development require certain levels of cleanup. So if you know going into the property exactly what you want that property to be, it's helpful because you can decide. Let's say you find a hot spot of a contaminant, but you know that 25% of your property is going to be parking lot and it's going to be located in the southwest corner. You could potentially incorporate into your project, we're going to move that contaminated piece instead of having to truck it all the way to, you know, a landfill, which can be extremely expensive and often outside of California. You can say, well, we're going to put it here and cap it in place. We'll embody it in like a burrito wrap, but there won't be, you know, any ability for it to leach. Yeah.
You know, put a lettuce on the top of it.
Yeah. Paving on top, so nobody would be digging or planting in that area. And then you have it marked and mapped, and you know people know for the future. But then it would allow you to develop the remainder of the site.
Is that hedging it?
If you really know, if you're making an investment in a property that's going to be 20, 30, 40, 50-year project, I don't think it's hedging it. Now, we're finding that the science on contamination cleanup improves all the time. So when somebody comes back and takes a look at that same property 50 years later, they might have a whole new set of tools to work with. Because we wrestle with that. Are we just kicking it down the can for somebody else or not?
No, kicking it in the can or kicking the can down the road.
Right. Which one
of you? Take your pick.
I think you have to look at each site individually. Obviously, if you think you're going to place a school or residential housing, the level of cleanup is at a very high level versus if you're going to have industrial space and you could cap the contamination in a certain area.
Is that because it's living or because it wouldn't be under a parking lot?
Because of the potential. Like if Again, you could probably still cap that under a roadway.
That's right, like an apartment building, and then you got a common parking area.
Right, but anywhere where you anticipate people could be digging or growing things or playing a lot on the ground and the grass would be areas that we want to make sure are cleaned up to full standard.
You don't want the 10-pound tomato patch?
Right.
To be sourced down.
Yeah, so this site will likely be some level of mixed use, but there has been talk about, one, it's right on the edge of some of the creeks adjacent to the bay. I mean, we're right at the bay's edge in this area. So high level of cleanup associated with that. Some of it could be used for restoration mitigation, which can be very hard to find any kind of saltwater mitigation for other projects.
So that means it's like a land bank?
Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of talk about a dog park, and the council has talked about
a portion of this site
being used for kind of a destination dog park. And then a lot of other mixed use has been talked about.
That would be an all access dog park?
You want to all access?
No.
After the break.
What I was thinking, you got something that's right there. It's in the middle of the water area. It's scenic, rural, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Isn't that the ideal place for apartments? When you're in an area that's got housing issues, there it is. Now these are going to be really desirable, well-maintained, nice look, da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
Why not do it there instead of somewhere else or put in a dog park?
Well, the one thing that the area might have a challenge with is sea level rise. So as we look at our city's sea level rise strategy, you're right on south of Samoa. I could definitely see some level of residential, but maybe on the second story.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Karen D.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, this time of the year typically is not considered the construction season.
It's the end of the construction season, yet, all buttoning up.
Yeah, okay. If you were up at 4 this morning, you understood why.
Yep.
If you got up at 7, you have no idea what we're talking about.
Exactly.
What are you looking at now? I know there's a lot of concerns with some of the runoff, some of the projects in the creeks and the streams, and I guess in the bay a little bit too, just to make sure that everything's buttoned up and you don't have loose wires hanging around or something that could cause some problems with the winter storms as they approach.
Yeah, we go through and look at all the construction sites in Arcata. What you're really looking for is soil that can run off as the rains come and hit. And does it make its way into a creek or a waterway? Because ultimately all of that leads into Humboldt Bay. So there's a real science behind stormwater. It's probably the biggest area of regulation, environmental regulation growth for developers and construction in the last 10 years. And so all the contractors, that's why you start seeing the hay or these little rolls of hay that go around to try to stop anything from leaving the site as the rains come in. But most of the sites, we have a couple of big ones that we'll have to monitor throughout the winter. But most of them really try to button up their construction sites and put them to rest for the winter. You know, we have a pretty limited construction season. We say pretty much guaranteed May 15th, October 15th, and anything outside of that window is pretty iffy.
Bonus.
It is. Right. It's all bonus. And we all use it every year. We all use the bonus, especially that end of the season.
But is buttermilk done?
Buttermilk is done.
That's what it's going to look. You're not going to have sidewalks out to the county line just to let Tom know where the county line starts.
No,
kind of like he did with a pavement project coming in down Buttermilk.
We got pretty close, but we had we are maxed out at our right of way along Buttermilk. So it
really,
mm-hmm.
It's that thin.
Mm-hmm. Especially as you get closer to the county line, so we really need to work with property owners to buy any additional right of way if we wanted to see full sidewalks on either side out on that end.
Safe schools or home to schools, whatever that thing is that they're doing out here in the Myrtletown area, that Sunny Bray
we've had
hasn't
some,
had one? Or
we have a lot of the sidewalks that you would have seen probably close to 10 years ago to and from Sunny Bray School, but it hasn't extended again. We just don't have the right of way to have it extend all the way up. We might have, there's a few reflective signs still going in. We might get another, you know, speed monitor out in that area. The county is looking at some additional speed signs. We just had a small neighborhood meeting. We asked people to, yes, we know it's beautiful, nice pavement, but still it's a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit. We put in one additional speed hump within
Yeah, that
section.
Was a surprise. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And I would tell you most of the county residents that are on that side of it would, I think, like to see speed humps all the way to Baywood.
Probably. You know? I mean, yeah, it's still small vehicle. I mean, yeah. You don't get the big commercial rigs going out there.
Right, except there's quite a bit of logging that happens out in that area. So that neighborhood does see quite a bit of truck traffic during certain times of year. But it's good. It was a really successful project. We got all of the water and sewer underneath the road done first and got a beautiful reconstructed and overlay of that road that really needed it. And the county came in partnership and did a slurry over their section. So, you know, they didn't have money for full reconstruction, but they did a really good job doing that slurry seal.
Now it's just the other side.
Yes. There is always more.
Isn't there, though? Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too.